Star Market Celtics tonight. The Game 3 edition continues from the Garden, from Orlando, from around the world, courtesy of Satellite Radio. Our conversation with the head coach, brought to you as always by the Star Market. Just for you, digital app earn reward saver on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Always have to glance when you hear that tone. Like, is that an important email coming in? Is that like B-Rob updating something? Does it have to do with the game? Does it have to do with like my wife, like, bring home milk? You never really know this day and age.
Is it really still Satellite Radio?
Yes. I think this, yes, there is. There is some of that is still that way. But and there are many different ways to receive the signal. And you know it's being done satellite. And because when you drive, even now, you'll drive under like an overpass on the Mass Pike. And all of a sudden, you lose two critical seconds. Somebody could be doing that right now. They could have just missed two critical seconds of something you have to say.
Yeah, that's critical.
That would be
actually crazy. Our show was made for driving under that bridge in the Mass Pike.
Getting that's stuck under.
That's what our show was made for. Hey,
getting stuck under the bridge. Oh yeah, no, exactly. I've been stuck under this bridge for 5 minutes. I missed the whole thing. That's a shame.
I missed the whole conversation. Thank God. Turn on something else.
Among my maybe my favorite part of the other night was perusing, as I am wont to do and almost required to do by my employment, social media after the game, and seeing a tweet. It said from one of your players how much he loves this team in big, giant, capital letters and enthusiasm. And it was from Enes Kanter, who has not played in the last two games after playing a significant role in the Philadelphia series. And you talked about how you almost put him in the other night in game two. But I thought if you could step back and take one – make a statement about this team and this group, that might be it. Because instead of it being hard not to play, that's almost like the dream scenario.
Yeah, every good team I've been a part of, every team that had a chance at the end that was in it, you know, in the last few teams, you know, all that stuff has been that way. And doesn't mean that guys are happy when they don't play. It doesn't mean that they're satisfied when they don't play. But it means that they understand that it's not about them. It's bigger than them. And we're all here to play whatever role we can to try to, you know, we've said from the get-go, inspire, empower, share joy, but do so together. We all try to do this individually. It won't be very fun. It won't be very rewarding. It won't be very fulfilling. So I think that all of our guys really embrace that. But it helps when an older player, a guy that's a veteran, feels that way. And, you know, he went through some ups and downs in the seeding games. And one of the things about him is it's always been about the bigger picture. It's always been about the team. And, you know, I think his perspective, just life in general, he's got a good perspective on everything.
And, you know, maybe it's my desire just to be contrarian to everybody else, because that will always be the Marcus Smart game the other night. And Kemba was brilliant in the fourth quarter. Everything Jason Tatum did, it's going to be written about and talked about, which is, of course, why I want to start with Grant Williams, because it's the perfect example of, you know, look at like the obvious things about the game that we remembered years from now. I brought up the Kelly Olynyk game, the game seven against Washington in that fourth quarter. That's his night. It'll always be remembered for that. But there's always little things that happen. And it just seems like with Grant, and we'll get to Robert Williams too, because these are rookies we're talking about, whatever you consider this part of the season to be a year later. It just seems like when Grant comes on the floor, good things happen.
I think he's just gotten better. I think this has been a matchup that we knew that, you know, he'd have a chance to play the four or the five in. You know, a lot of times for us, his best minutes have been at the five. But Siakam's such a big physical guy. And then they played double big some with Boucher last game. They played Ibaka Gasol together some in game one. So he's a guy that can match up against those guys. He can perform different coverages defensively, which, you know, at a probably a more comfortable rate than some of our other swing players, just because they're not asked to do that as much. And because he's played the five, you can mix and match a little bit more. And so that's been good for us. I think he's played well, you know. And the other thing about it is, and I know this sounds crazy, but to come from being a two-time SEC player of the year 2 years in a row, he's been good about accepting that we don't need him to be a guy that needs the ball. We need him to be a guy that moves the ball or shoots it when he's open or gets a rebound and kicks it out like he did the other night, a huge play. Think about, you know, we played six playoff games and he's had at least three where he's had huge offensive rebound kickouts that in big moments. And I think that those are great plays for our team. You go back to the first game against Toronto in the season, our first win of the year at home. He got the rebound, kicked it out for Jason Tatum, corner three, and that helped separate us as we headed down the stretch. So he's been good all year. He's still a rookie, though. And I told all those guys, I don't ever know when your rookie season is going to end. It just keeps going.
Yeah, especially when
I hope it doesn't end anytime soon. But that was
a good cover. Yeah. Robert Williams, I thought, kind of changed the game in a lot of ways. You talk about sort of raising the temperature. Guys that raised the temperature of a room, I thought he raised the temperature of the game in game two. And was there a moment during this long period of time away in practice where he sort of earned more trust and earned this time? Or was this a matter of, you know, have faith and, you know, faith will be given to you, see how these minutes go? Because all of a sudden, you know, sometimes it just clicks in and it looks like it's clicking in.
Well, one of the problems with our practices, we have so many fives that it's hard for them to really separate themselves because they're all shuffling in and out of practice. So I wouldn't say that there was a moment in practice. His play all year has been pretty consistent when he's been available. You know, there's things that he hasn't been able to do, or sometimes he was on minutes restrictions or whatever, but he didn't play in the first two or three seeding games at all. You know, we were playing Cantor and ahead of him and Grant some, and then he got in against Brooklyn and made a huge difference and then played great in the Toronto seeding game. So when we had the schedule came out, we knew we were playing Philly first. We knew that was going to be a tough one. And then we knew that if we got to Toronto, he would play a meaningful role. And, you know, certainly has thus far.
Two-parter here. Did you watch either of the Game 7s or parts of them the other night?
So I watched the last 2 minutes of the Denver-Utah game because my daily schedule is I go back, I get a bite to eat, and I watch our game right after it's over so that I can prepare the film for the next day. But I stopped and watched the last 2 minutes of that game. Last night, I fell asleep in the third quarter, so I missed it. But I saw the game before that, which was wild, you know, the Miami-Milwaukee game.
Here's sort of the reason I asked it that way was, do you ever see – there some crazy things happened at the end of those game sevens and things that
– And Miami-Milwaukee.
Well, that too. But well, I'm talking more about the human emotion that you often forget about that is very much a part of games in game seven, how things can be forgotten. You ever watch a game, whether it be a game seven the other night, and think, does ever you see something randomly that reminds you, you know what, we should make a note to talk about that or talk about that situation or talk about that because, you know, that may come up someday and you want to have as much preparation as possible because, as I said, the human emotion that clearly just took over both the end of those game sevens was palpable.
We do that all the time. So, like, I think one of the best ways to teach, especially late game situations, is to watch two other teams go through it. Because I think you take the emotion of your own, you know, success or failure out of it, and you're able to really watch and see, okay, this is what we needed. This is what we could have done here if this was us. This is what we could have done defensively. So we have several film sessions throughout the year where we'll take the end of a game of other teams and break it down and kind of talk it through. And I think that's a fun way. It's kind of a stress-free way of learning in a lot of ways. And we talked about some of the endings today in our meeting. Whether it's game seven or game two or whatever, it all comes down to doing your very best. And sometimes in this league, you can do your very best and they still score. Or, you know, you can make a mistake and you get bailed out. But, like, it's a tough league and, you know, you feel bad about anybody that, you know, goes that far and has to go home. I think oftentimes my whole career was game sevens in the postseason until we got to Boston. And because, you know, you're one and done in the NCAA tournament. I think that there's a pressure that comes with that. There's a tension that comes with that. But that's about as good as it gets as a competitor with regard to what you signed up for.
That's the head coach. My goal was to do 6 or 7 minutes without saying something like, boy, they're down 0-2. You're going to get their best shot tonight. And boy, we got to be ready for that because, man, how many different times can you say the same thing over and over again in the playoff series, right? That would be worth driving under a tunnel for.
I'm happy. I am happy that I'm being asked that question. I get it. I understand it. I think we've all been through it enough to know that we have to get ready tonight to win a game against the defending NBA champion who put us on their heels all night long on Tuesday night. That's hard enough in and of itself. We don't have to consider anything else. It's just about these 48 minutes.
All right. Hopefully you didn't drive under a tunnel for any of that. You heard the entire thing uncompromised. That's the head coach. Game three is next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.